Yes, man.
Amen.
Thank you that you woke everybody up so we could come to church today. Thank you for rising up on this day, because if you didn't, we wouldn't be here today. And please give us wisdom and understanding today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I want us to, I'm going to read a number of scriptures. There is nothing I'm going to say that you do not already know. In fact, the Apostle Peter, when he was writing to the brethren before he left, he said, I just want to put you in remembrance of the things you already know. So there is nothing new I will be sharing with you today that you do not already know. Unless, perhaps, you know, you are invited and you have never had a chance to be in the midst of the community of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you haven't had the chance to read the Holy Word of God. And you are welcome. This is a unique opportunity for you to hear those truths. But some of us have been reading these, and it is good to put us in remembrance of the truth on which our faith is established. So I want to read, let me ask Brother Kunle Adeleke to read again. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, and let's read the first 5 verses. So today I'm going to slow my tempo down. I'm going to talk a little bit slower today. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5.
Okay, Romans 1 to 5. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, through the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right. So, in this, the Apostle Paul is writing to this group of believers. Some of them are Jewish, some are not Jewish. And because of the nature of his existence, sometimes imprisoned, sometimes traveling, and sometimes fleeing persecution or being persecuted, he depended a lot on the communication by writing. But he took it seriously. And these are writings that we have now come to categorize as being infused with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit conditioned these words to be written so that the church can be established on how to live and how to project our faith in the world in which we live. So he says, the gospel that I'm talking about is that which concerns the Son of God. He came into being from the seed of David according to the flesh, which we all know. He was appointed to be the Son of God in power. It wasn't just by a title. It was the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit who raised him from the dead. He is our Lord and Savior. So on this day, I want to begin this series. I think I'm going to have an opportunity to speak with you for a few weeks. And I want to share with you my understanding, both in the lives of, you know, saints before us, saints who are still alive, and my own personal testimony of God's wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. But I'm going to move away from that which has now come to be known within the Pentecostal or charismatic cycles, which is a very indisciplined, infantile form of faith. The speaking in tongues and the demonstration of the gift of healing and ministry power. And that's it. The shallowness of life, the people who are falling right and center, whose lives do not demonstrate a superior power living in them, energizing them to live righteously and maintain what I call sustainable holiness. Not the holiness of yesterday and today, but it's in their life. By the time you look through their lives, talk to their family members, talk to their friends, everything will be confirmed that these people lived a righteous life. Not that when they are dead later on, we find that there are many skeletons in the cupboard. No, I'm not talking of that. I'm talking of the power of the Lord that allows an ordinary believer like Joshua Adimiju to just live for God. In the Acts of the Apostles, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter had not prepared a sermon. He did not know he was going to preach. They were celebrating Shavuot, and the Holy Spirit made a grand entrance into their lives. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Let's go there. I'm going to read quite a number of passages. When that day came, they were gathered in a place like others. A number of people came from different parts of the world, because they have to, this is one of the festivals for which adult male have to actually make a pilgrimage to the temple. So they were not in an upper room. You know, we always think they were in a house of somebody's house in the upper room. On the day of Pentecost, they have to be in the temple. So they were in a place within the temple observing this 50th day after Passover, like every other faithful Jewish person. And this is how the account goes. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Those of you who are addicted to the King James, remember that tongue means a language. That's a tongue, my Esan tongue, your Yoruba tongue, is a language. They were speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them eternal motivation or utterance. So the people saw these uneducated, just rustic fishermen, and you know, a group of people who were not reputable in the community, but they'd been followers of Jesus. They said the only way that this can happen, they are drunk, because all of the people who came from different parts of the world, and I still do not know, I don't think any of you here is used to it. I do not know that alcohol has the ability to give linguistic variation. I don't know about that. Usually people are speaking in neologism, saying things that nobody understands. We call it, they are using the alphabet of the devil. You know, when people are drunk, they are saying things that nobody understands. But these people, this is what they were doing. This is what they were saying. In verse 7, said they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, all those names that some of you cannot pronounce. Say, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them. They were not speaking in those languages that, you know, some of our children get frightened when we're doing it and they don't know whether something is wrong with us. They were speaking in languages that people could hear. They said, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So if you were an Urobo person on that day, you'll be hearing them saying the things that Ogene has done. If you are Yoruba, you'll be hearing it on your own. It's like when you go to United Nations, everybody has those things, you know, so all those people with turbans and everything, they have wires into their... Something will be making it possible in their own languages. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. But they did not need any headphones. That was a demonstration of a reverse Tower of Babel. You remember where God confused people by giving them languages they could not understand. So they all scattered and formed their individual clans and small nations. And eventually that's how we are now. We see the Welsh speaking and the English is like, who are these? They're about to break your ears. What are you talking about? But on this day, in fulfillment of the prophecy of God, which we'll go through in, you know, more details, God, in a united way through the Holy Spirit, put in each as many disciples and followers as possible, men and women. They were somewhere declaring to the Persians, some were declaring to the Libyans, some were declaring to the Medes in their own language, the wonderful works of God. You remember 1 Peter? You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special people. What? That we may demonstrate the wonders of Him who has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. The first duty of the church is to declare the wonderful works of God. That's what a witness is. I witnessed it. This is what happened. I saw God do wonderful things. So I am a witness. So while they were doing this, you know, there are always children of Nebuchadnezzar in every gathering. There are some people who said, what does this mean? They are filled with new wine. They are drunk. Those were mockers, which in Psalm 1 were told not to be in their midst. So at that point, now the same Peter that a young girl said, aren't you a follower of the Lord Jesus? He said, not me. What do you mean? And me? No, I'm not. That Peter is gone. That Peter that said, no, I don't know him. The Bible said he almost started to curse. Now that Peter, this is a new one. Listen. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Listen to what I got to say. Peter. You remember Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times, not even before Pilate. They had not yet brought him there. It was just, I think we know. This Peter now rises up and says, listen to me. Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the 3rd hour of the day. But this is what was uttered by the prophet Joel. And remember, he did not know ahead, so he could not have prepared the sermon. He did not know this was going to happen. He could not have prepared the sermon. But look at Peter. All of a sudden, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ become true. He will guide you into all truth and bring into your remembrance everything I've taught you. He said to them, when you are brought before the Sanhedrin, when you are brought before people, do not worry about what to say. The spirit of your father will be speaking through you. I will give you a wisdom and a language that nobody can overcome. Nobody can overpower it. That's what the Lord taught them. Peter demonstrates it. This is that. What you're saying is not alcohol. It's not madness. It is what's in your holy scriptures. This is that which the prophet Joel prophesied. But I don't want to focus on that. I'm going to go to another part where he started to talk about the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 22. Where's the MVP Folake Adeniyi? I want you to read from verse 22. Of Acts chapter 2. Read all the way to verse 25.
So Acts 2 from 22.
Yes.
Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Keep therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with your joy in your presence."
Thank you. Thank you. He quotes to them. You know, he doesn't have a Bible, because the Torah scroll is not individually held. It's in your synagogue. People didn't have the means of having a copy. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He will bring it to your remembrance. He said, you remember David said this. But he wants to show them that that was not about David. Brothers, verse 29, "I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is here with us today. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned in hell or Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out these that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." He's saying to them, this is the power of God. What you are saying is in accordance with what had been promised. Everywhere, if you pay attention in the scriptures, when it comes to the creative powers, the creative work, the creation of God's, you know, of God, the, you know, when God brings anything to being, his Spirit accomplishes it. I would like to recommend to every one of us to take some time to study what we call the attributes of God by reading books like J.I. Packer, Knowing God, reading A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of God, so that you can have working definitions of certain theological, you know, terms. Like when we say God is spirit, when we say God is omnipresent, what are we saying? How can I break it down if I wanted to speak to Professor Deshola Adeleke, if I wanted to explain it to him? What does it mean when we say God is spirit? You have to have those things. Parents, adults, Sunday school teachers have to have a simple way of making it clear. And the Holy Spirit will help you. When God in Genesis chapter 1 was about to fashion earth and the skies into what we now recognize, the word of God says, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be. Further on, in chapter 2 of Genesis, and I'm going to ask our sister, Buki Adenuga, to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. This is how you and I were made. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
Then the Lord formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature.
Okay. So up to that time, if God wanted cows to come, he just simply decreed it. Let there be the beast that will rise and do this, and they will come up. Let there be fish in the ocean, they will come out. But God said, let us make man in our image. So what is different between my fingers and the fingers of a deer? We have blood supplies to it. So that could not be the image that God is talking about. Because the Lord had to breathe into man. That's the only creature that God does that to. In order to make us resemble him, to bear his image, he input his spirit into us. That's how we bear God's image. So the Spirit of God is not a stranger to any one of you. Every one of you, all our children, we grandparents, we carry in us a place that God has designed for himself alone. We'll explore those later. So this is why, for Christ to be raised, is the same Spirit that gave life to creation of clay. That was lifeless on its own right. You try making it, you try carve a human being and see if it's going to move. You know, Brother Femi, you are a superman from a Hindu. You know, carve a human being of wood, go and breathe into it and see whether it's going to move. If that was going to happen, they would have eliminated all of us who are poor people, those of us who the government and some of these dictators would like to wipe out, and they will have created the kind of savant that can serve them. But in order for us, God, to make a human being, he breathed into us. And in the same way that the Holy Scriptures were given. Let me talk a little bit more. This morning, we had our brethren lead us in worship. They were playing on the instruments that anybody can play in a bar or in a club. But what was the difference? It is not in their voices. It's not even in the words, because the words that were used to write the songs are in English with the same number of letters in the alphabet. Anybody who is composing and performing at Carnegie Hall will use those same the scores and all the stuff about music. But what was different? And this is why the worship team must not rely, not even the beauty of the song or the poetry. You have to rely on the life that the Spirit of God gives to those words. That's why, as we were singing, it's an honor to worship and praise you. All of a sudden, you feel different. It's not the reaction you have when Beyoncé is singing. Because the spirit in Beyoncé is different from the spirit of our worship team. They were singing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the person who actually wrote the song, I trust, was writing under the influence of the life-giving spirit. So that is why it is different. So if a worship team decides, you know, we are so good at drums and this and that, the way we play our music is so sweet, and you think that is what is going to move people, you have moved it to an area called idolatry. But if all you have, you entrust it into the hands of the Holy Spirit to give it life, that's what God honors, and that's what transforms. Let me break it down a little bit more. You know, all of us, we want our children to read the Word of God. We ourselves, we have a lot of desires to please God. But don't forget that our children were born dead. They were born as the children of Adam, and death hangs over everyone. The only way they can respond to God is if the Spirit of God gives them life. That's why it's called being born again. as much as you love to have your children, know, serve, and honor God. I want you to be compassionate and merciful and patient and enduring in praying that they will encounter the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not when they grow up, but right now. And those people amongst us who think they are elderly, in the Spirit of God, there is no such thing. When our sister Elizabeth was sharing this morning, did you have anything to do with age? Didn't you feel, were you not blessed by it? No, nod your head if you were. Were you blessed by that sharing? Okay. Caleb came to Joshua when he was about 85 or 80. He said, okay, Joshua, remember God made a promise to me. I am as vigorous as I was then. So give me this mount hill that I go conquer it. He said, go ahead. And the man did it. You know what happened? He was moved by the Spirit of God. In Numbers chapter 13, where they had gone to scout the land, and 10 of them came and gave bad report, 2 of them good report, the Bible says in those 2, they had a different spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit tells us. They had a different spirit. That's the Spirit of God. So Caleb, at the age of 80, can say, I am ready to do what a 40-year-old person will be doing. Like a brother Peter, who just turned 40 last week, right? Is he 40? He turned 40, or is it 30 or what? What did brother Peter just turn what? 40, okay, all right. So he said, I'm as strong as brother Peter.
30.
Okay, at that age, 80, I can do it. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. On this day, brethren, let us remember, it was the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. What is power? Is the ability to do. The ability to do. It is inhumane to ask your children to not lust or have evil thoughts in their own strength, because they can't. You cannot. Next week, I will share with you my own personal testimony. When I knew that Christianity is true, that Christ is true, it was when I saw that in Him, I had the ability to do what I could not do in myself. So on the day that we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was impossible for death to hold Him. The Holy One of God could not undergo decay. You bring that to yourself. Anointing also means set apart, sanctified, I'm holy. Jesus said to the Father in John chapter 17, because of them, we who believe in Him, I've set myself apart, that they may be set apart. So you are set apart, I'm set apart. SOG is set apart. Everybody is set apart if you believe in the Lord. Sister Cindy is set apart. Sister Elizabeth is set apart. So are, you know, Similolu and Anika and all of our children, if they have come to believe in the Lord, they are set apart. So they are anointed. Which means, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will not see decay. Say, hey, brother, Lord has just said something. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 so you don't say I've just said something that is not true. All right. Okay. Brother Wally, can you read for me, please, Romans chapter 8? Let's go to verse 9. And this is where I'm going to stay and then end here. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to verse 9.
Romans 8, 9.
Yes,
but, 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
Good.
If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. He is not his.
Okay. When the Apostle Paul was writing what we call those middle chapters, because there's no chapter originally. Like you write email, you don't chapter and verse them. So in chapter 6, 7, and 8, where we have the concept of the newness of life in Christ and why that new life is victorious over sin. It is not the life we inherited that promises or aspires to do the good things but cannot. I truly believe that almost everybody here listening to me would like to be holy, would love to please God, would love to be pure, including our children. But the power to do it is not there. So there's a constant frustration. I want to do this good thing, but I can't. Evil is present in me. Then the Apostle Paul goes on to say, how come the law that is good, that says thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, which is good in itself, is holy. Why is it producing in me such a frustration and defeat? He said it is the body of sin, the nature we inherited. That nature cannot serve God. I mean, let's read a little bit more. Actually, let's go to chapter 8. I want to read from verse 1. So bear with me so that I can give you the context. It is good to understand these things. And please use the raise up your hand button if there's something I've said for which you need clarification. Don't wait till the end. Please, 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 please. If you need to ask a question, ask, please, at any point. If you go through the Gospels, you see the disciples always ask Jesus questions. Say, Lord, what did you mean by this? We didn't understand it. So please, don't put on that solemn face and say, okay, I don't get it. So tell me, if there's something I say that is not clear to you right now, raise your hand. I think there's an option there, and ask the question. I'm not in a hurry. Now that I want to keep you here till 4 p.m. Well, in other words, we can stop here now, but I want to make sure this truth is known. If the spirit that raised Jesus lives in you, that same spirit is going to quicken, it means to give life to every part of your physical body to be conditioned, or in the way now we use it, enabled to yield those members as tools of righteousness. If the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That is the condition. So in chapter 8, verse 1, this is where that argument came from, which Brother Wally read for us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Adam, sin and death. The Lord Jesus, life. For God has done what the law, weakened by the human corrupt nature, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That principle that always misses the target. That's what is called sin. In order that the... Look at this. Read it to yourself. Don't say, Brother Lodger read it. Go verse 4. Everybody read it together. You don't have to unmute yourself. Let's read it together. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in me. Put your name there. Alodja. Kunle, put your name there. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in our sister Wura. Put your name there. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Mm-hmm. Look at this, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit set their mind on the things of the spirit. Those are laws. You can change it. Whatever goes up must come down. If you set your mind on the flesh, you will do all the things about the flesh. But if you live according to the Spirit, your mind will be set on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is an enemy to God, is hostile to God. The natural person not only cannot do the will of God, actually hates God. It's an active hostility toward God, including those your angelic-looking children. Some of us were born, didn't even have that opportunity. My uncle took one look at me and said, "This boy looks stubborn," and that's how I got my name, Alodja. So some of us did not even have that privilege. Maybe that's why they were praying for me for so hard, and that prayer has yielded a lot of dividends. So some of us have an advantage. You just come out looking like the day of judgment, people start praying for you from the beginning, and it has worked for me. But some of you have children who look very angelic and all of that, and even those ones fall into the same category as Alodja when I was young. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. No way. This is the good news. However, where is Dami? Where is he? Put him on the phone. Hey, come on. You, however, Dami, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You should all unmute yourself and say, Amen.
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 Now hear this. Just still leave yourself unmuted. Verse 11. You can put Dami away now. Don't put him on the spotlight. He's done what I wanted him to do. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen.
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 That is the way of victory. That's why Christ died. That those who are in him will receive his Spirit and be able to please God.
Glory to God.
So the charismatic movement has cheated a lot of followers because they have reduced the Spirit of God to speaking in tongues and miracles, but have not emphasized the power to live a life that pleases God. A lot of believers, millions, are still entangled in this not do guilt, strong desires to please God, but unable to. And some of them can live like that for 70 years. Whereas, you know, there's a saying now, that you cannot wash your hand with saliva when you're by the bank of a river. Whereas we have the Spirit of God. How can God's children be hungry when the bread of life is their savior? Why the unnecessary anguish and, you know, futility? So, brothers and sisters, this is a deliverance day for us. So then, look at verse 12. Look at this. Look at this statement of independence. So then, we are debtors, not to what? Not to the flesh. I don't owe the flesh anything to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That is the goal. QED, all things being ceteris paribus, everything being equal, flesh leads to death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, let me be clear with all of us. When the Bible uses sons, it's not talking of gender, male, female. No, son is one who inherits. So Sister Lola is a son of God. This has nothing to do with male, female. It is one who inherits. Follow me. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is what's called the good news. You can take it to the bank. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord Jesus said something. Let me read it. Matthew chapter 11, the Lord Jesus pointed out a deep spiritual mystery. So he had just been upbraiding the cities, Tyre and Sidon and all of them who did not listen to him, who could not repent even with all the miracles that he did, saying that if Sodom and Gomorrah had seen some of the things they were saying, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 25, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Are you hearing that? Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. I'm still looking for the day that I will see one of your children preaching fully. Not what they call, not Gary School. The real preaching, the real message on a day like this. He said, I thank you. You, O Lord, you have hidden these things from Socrates, from Richard Dawkins. You've hidden this from Stephen Hawking. You've hidden these things from the Nobel Prize winners. But you have revealed them to little children. But this is your will. After all, what was Samuel? How old was Samuel when he heard the voice of God and he became one of the greatest prophets? Finally, this same spirit that we're talking about that gives life made it possible for a teenage young girl in a rustic village in Bethlehem to believe the message given to her. Let's conclude by reading the Holy Spirit and the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel had gone to a seasoned Levite, Zechariah, and gave him the good news. But Zechariah, having read the word of God and all of knowing what the Holy Spirit could do, doubted, found it impossible. And the angel said, okay, don't worry. This is going to happen, but for now I'm going to shut your tongue. As they say in Pidgin, I will blind your mouth. And so he said, for now, let me put your tongue on the leave of absence. When this happens, then you'll come back to active. I'll bring you from follow and bring you to a proper work. But not so in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city, Galilee, Nazareth, to a virgin, to a young lady who had never known a man or had sexual encounters with any man, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And that virgin's name was Miriam, Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, shalom, peace to you, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And she was greatly troubled. Those of you who are mothers now, just put yourself 16, 17. Cindy, think, just put yourself at the age of 16. Some of you have children who are 16, 17. Hearing these words, let's just say 19. These wonderful words. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, also Joshua. And then he said, come on, name. You shall call his name Yeshua. God is salvation. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. This is getting big now. So this is not just, you know, he will be a ruler. They've heard that before. He is going to be a deliverer for Israel. They've heard that before, but this is on another level. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. That has never happened before. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end, as in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And Mary said, how will this since, not that I don't believe it, but how will it happen since I'm not married yet? I'm just engaged, but I'm not yet married. It says, verse 35. Sister Ronke, read it for me. Say, you won't say, Brother Lodge read it from his Bible. No, I want you know, you trust Sister Ronke now. I know you trust me, but Sister Ronke, can you read from verse 35? Verse 35, read that portion for us, please. Luke chapter 1, verse 35.
Verse 35, Luke. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
Thank you. How will it happen? The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, which later on, you know, the Holy Spirit brought the Lord Jesus into the world, he is going to raise him from the dead. This is much more, you know, those of you who threaten, and I don't think it will happen in this church because you will be on suspension. Those parents who threaten their children that I brought you here and I'll take you out, it's an empty threat. But this Holy Spirit who brought the Lord Jesus Christ in is able to fulfill that threat. He brought him back from the dead. It's the same principle. Everywhere the Spirit of God is, there is life. It is not seven steps. It is not principles of success. It's not principles of victory. It is just simply the Spirit of God that gives life. If he lives in us, he's able to quicken us. So that is my sharing with all of us this morning. Next week, I will give you my own testimony, as imperfect as it is, but it's true, of how I came to find out that there was no way that my own desiring, the strength of my promises, would make me live a fruitful life in the Lord. But it was in yielding, in accepting what God had already laid down, that I came to understand fruitfulness in the Lord Jesus. In this ongoing journey to live and bear testimony to the fact that there's only one name by which human beings can be saved, the name Jesus. And to declare to the world that God indeed has raised him, giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of the Lord Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And to declare to the whole world that there is a time coming when this same Lord Jesus will have to bring everyone to account, and life to those who have lived righteously, and unfortunately death to those who have chosen rebellion. evil, wickedness, iniquity. But you are not so, my brethren. So let's rejoice. If our children say, why is the table special today? He said, because this is our declaration of independence. This is our Independence Day. But that's what we celebrate. The Lord, who by his Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, is here with us, with you. Now, there is no kindergarten Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that will walk in our brother Detola is the same Spirit that will walk in Jola. No distinction. And that's why sometimes, you know, I like children to pray for us. They don't have all the poetry and all the stuff that we all go through. They just say it right there. We are wily now. We know the tricks of sounding religious. So sometimes when we pray, the Holy Spirit will have to remove a lot of preambles and just get to the point. But children, they just say as it is. Thank you. Any question?
I think there's a question for
you. There's a question in the chat.
I won't read it for me because I can't check the chat while I'm talking at the same time.
How do I live by the Spirit? I think that's from Josh.
How do you live by the Spirit? Simple. Good. Let's see. So, you live by the Spirit by allowing the Spirit to live in you. Let me explain that. So, Josh, when you take a seed, and if I remember the last time I came to your old house, you had somebody was planting some stuff at your backyard. So I saw tomatoes and I saw pepper. All the person needed to do was to put that seed on the ground. Inside the seed is that which will tell the seed when to shoot up, when to break through the soil, when to use the sun and all the stuff to start bringing out leaves, to start bringing out flowers, and to make a fruit in that seed. So, how you live by the Spirit is to let, so the first thing is to, today, I'm sure you've been praying it before, you say, Lord, I fully accept your life in me. I yield over to you, my mind, my body, everything about me. I want you to be in control. And since I don't fully know how to go about all of this, I trust that you will do that. Then there's something called getting to know the Holy Spirit as a friend. So I'm sure that Josh, the friends you have, you do two things. You communicate with them. You check up on what's going on with them. And they send you some things. They tell you, check this out, check this app out. And you do. So the same thing is to learn how to have friendship, also called companionship, but that's a big word. Let's just use friendship with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is as present with you as your mom and dad. In fact, he's more present. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you want to do. So when you come to a difficult place, this is what happened to me. When I was very young, you know, and sometimes I will come into a difficult place, like temptation. I'll say to the Holy Spirit, I'm in trouble. You got to bail me out now. And he always did. Always did. And then, where is the Holy Spirit talked about? In the Word of God. So, you need to learn a little bit more about God. You need to read the Word of God, and this time say, Holy Spirit, you are the author, right? And you are here right with me. So read it with me. That's one thing. And then, finally, the Holy Spirit likes people who likes Jesus. The Holy Spirit loves to be in a place where Jesus is made big, where Jesus is glorified. That's the word we use. So if you learn to know more about Jesus and think about who Jesus is, and how to be a better friend of the Lord Jesus, and asking the Holy Spirit, can you make me more pleasing to Jesus? Can you make Jesus really big in my eyes? By doing that, the Holy Spirit will be bringing out some fruits in you. So just as a seed is growing, that Holy Spirit is in you. He will be making things open to you. And I don't know So apart from your parents, I'm going to ask all of, who is mentoring Josh? Is there anybody apart from his parents, one of you adults, who is mentoring him? Who is working alongside him? Where's Brother Bumi? Brother Bumi, who is in charge? Who is mentoring Josh? You have nobody yet? Okay, those of you who are adults.
Sister Kemi.
Okay. Where are the men? Where are the people other than Brother Tunde, the men who are mentoring?
We have to assign some.
Okay. One of you should walk alongside him. And the other, the same thing. One of you men, as the sisters also, one of you should mentor Simi. Not just the mother and dad. Yeah, they're doing their work. One of you should pair up with Tisha, with Romoke. Other than their parents are doing their work. And follow up on this question that he just asked me. Can you all do that? Can one of you do that? Can one of you commit to that? You know, I didn't hear an answer yet. Can one of you men commit to that? If it was a little girl, I would be asking the mothers. Can one of you men commit to mentoring Josh? Thank you. All right. Good. Sister Yewande, what's your son's name? He can talk for himself.
Temi.
Temi? T-E-M-I?
T-I-M-I.
Okay, all right. Next time when I ask, there should be somebody mentoring him. Sister Tumi Dari, how old are you now?
22.
Who is your big sister in the fellowship?
My big sister?
Who is your mentor in this group? Who mentors you?
I don't think I have a specific mentor.
Who wants to take over now? The sisters. Those of you who are already mature in faith, you've known the Lord for a while and you've been walking with the Lord, and you will be checking in on that Tommy Diary on how to live and walk in the Spirit. And this is practical. Let's not do theory. I have seen no hand yet. Okay, Buki, thank you. Sister Jackie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which young person are you mentoring? Young lady in the church that you are checking up on to see how they are growing spiritually.
My son.
No, not your son. You know what I mean now.
Well, actually, I mentor other people outside of the church, though.
I want you to pick a young lady in the church. So next time when I ask you that question, I will have an answer.
Okay, yes.
Good.
I will.
All right. Where is Romoke? Mm-hmm. So which of you is mentoring her, apart from her parents? Is praying with her, who is checking up on her, who is seeing how she's doing the things of the Spirit, who is able to share with her, you know, how to be a successful believer? Brother Bumi, who are you assigning? Who did you assign now? To Ademiju?
No, Sister Folake Ademiji.
That is family now. Okay. I'm okay with that. So let's you get the point. It is not, look, if we must live as a community of faith. The reason I can speak to you now is the man who took me up. Somebody taught me how to read the Bible. Not just preach it to me, he actually came to my house on a Friday evening. I went to his house on a Saturday morning. He taught me how to look for a study Bible. The reason Brother Lodger can speak to you is because of the people who made input into my life, including Dr. Shoetori. Many people, they are so many. Let's end here. Let's pray. I'm going to ask our sister Cindy to please pray for us.
Lord Jesus, you came to us willingly as the Son of the Father, made flesh as we are, and you died for us. For this, Lord, we bless and praise you. We thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, from our hearts, that we might follow you, that we might do more to be like you, to be in your example, and to raise up our children to follow you, to reach out to members of our church and our communities, and to show in our bodies, to reveal the light of you, the light that could not be overcome by darkness and who will not be, the truth. You are the truth, you are the life. Dear Lord, we thank you, we bless you on this day on which the world celebrates the death that you gave willingly, your death, that our sins might be washed away, that death will never have victory over us, that death will lose its sting, that we will rise again to be with you, that we will rise to be with you. Dear Lord, let us follow you always. Thank you, dear Lord. Praise you, and we thank you for this fellowship and for our leader and for the leaders around us that you have placed among us that we might learn and be your disciples. Thank you, Lord. We pray in your name. In the name of the blessed Yeshua, Amen. The anointed one. Amen.
Yeah, thank you.